not all risk-taking is bad. Asking their crush out on a date. Trying out for a sport. Standing up for somebody who's been bullied.
Come on!
Fight!
In a way, this helps shape their identity.
Welcome to Border Health Horizons, the podcast we will delve into the dynamic world of health and wellness along the U.S.-Mexico border. I am Dr. Emre Umucu, an associate professor and associate dean for research in the College of Health Sciences. We are excited to have you join us today for our journey as we explore the unique health challenges and successes that define our border communities. On this podcast, we are not just addressing the issues, we are also highlighting the innovative solutions and remarkable individuals who are making a difference in health and well-being on both sides of the border. Tune in as we uncover stories of resilience, share insights into groundbreaking research, and also celebrate the strides being made to improve health outcomes in our vibrant borderland. Before we begin today's episode, I would like to introduce our distinguished guest, Dr. April Thomas. Dr. Thomas is an associate professor in the Department of Psychology at the University of Texas at El Paso. She earned her doctoral degree in the developmental psychology from the University of California, Irvine. Dr. Thomas addresses the fundamental question, why do adolescents take risks? Her work focuses on adolescents' development with a particular emphasis on risk-taking and problem behavior among young people. April, thank you so much for being with us today and welcome for our podcast.
Thank you so much for having me here today.
So April, you know, like I'm kind of like familiar with your research as a psychologist and, you know, like I just have like some questions for you today. Can you please briefly talk about your research with adolescents and their risk-taking behaviors?
Sure. So my research examines why adolescents take risks and why they sometimes engage in delinquent behaviors that are illegal. I am especially interested in the developmental factors of this age period of adolescence that contribute to teens' heightened risky behavior. For example, I've explored how natural changes in sleep that take place during adolescence can contribute to greater risk-taking. I also research social influence. So one thing I find really interesting about this time period of adolescence is that it's a period of life when we're particularly vulnerable to social influence. And often this susceptibility can contribute to teens' risk-taking. Many of your listeners can probably relate or recall being a teen themselves and how your decision-making at that time of life might change depending on if you were by yourself or with your friends or a parent. We see in research that when teens are with their friends, they tend to behave in more risky ways.
That's great, April. And I definitely remember my own teenager years and, you know, like I was taking some risks, you know, like although I was like really fearful kid, but still, you know, I was really taking some risk for sure, you know, to navigate, you know, like my environment as well. You know, April, I was also looking at your research and I believe you are also working with juvenile offenders. So how does developmental science inform approaches within the justice system to best support these adolescents?
Yeah, so it's been pretty incredible to see how developmental science research has shaped the justice system over the past few decades. There are a few major cases that stand out in particular that have been heavily influenced by research by developmental scientists, such as the case of Roper v. Simmons, which eliminated the death penalty for juveniles in 2005. Graham v. Florida and several cases that came after eliminating juvenile life without parole for non-homicide cases, and then later even for homicide cases, eliminating the mandatory sentence of life without parole. And what's neat is that the reasons why these cases came about was because there was some pretty clear evidence that juveniles are different from adults in ways that matter for their culpability or their responsibility for crimes. What that means is that teens should be held less responsible for their illegal behavior because aspects of their development actually make them more prone to engaging in those crimes. So we talked about susceptibility to social influence. That is one factor, but there's a number of factors, things like impulsivity, the tendency to act without thinking, being drawn to novel and exciting things, having a immature capacity to think about and plan for the future. All of these things are known as what's called psychosocial maturity. And this is something we know continues to develop into young adulthood. And it's been thought that this continuing development may be why adolescents can engage in more risk-taking behavior and tend to engage in crimes more as they're experimenting with these criminal behaviors.
I think that makes sense, right? So because developmentally, I think they are not ready to really kind of like take responsibility of maybe like their behaviors, right? And they are not really developed enough to make sure like they are taking the correct actions. So that really makes sense. My next question is, you know, adolescents are often drawn to high risk activities, but could this tendency serve for a positive purpose? And how might it relate to their development and sense of identity?
It definitely can have a positive purpose as well. So not all risk taking is bad. And in fact, much of risk-taking can even be positive. Thinking about risk-taking, you can actually think of it on a continuum ranging from more positive or socially acceptable types of risks to more negative risk-taking, which would be less socially acceptable. Really, risky behavior is just something in which the outcome is unknown or uncertain. So when we think about risk-taking in a positive way for adolescents, this could be something like asking their crush out on a date, trying out for a sport or a play, standing up for somebody who's been bullied. These would all be examples of positive risk-taking that would be seen as socially acceptable and constructive. You know, I mentioned before that teens are prone to sensation-seeking. They like new, exciting experiences. And it is partly this drive for sensation that can help them reach these developmental milestones in terms of these positive risk-taking activities. So things like gaining more independence from their parents, strengthening their own identity and their sense of self. You know, if we're thinking of what that positive risk-taking might look like, it might be spending time with a different friend group. So experimenting with who you sit by at lunchtime or standing up for their beliefs. In a way, this helps to shape their identity.
That is great, April. And thank you so much for explaining this, because as a community, right, so we always associate risk with, you know, like negative outcomes or like, you know, like negative behaviors. So risk-taking can be actually a positive risk, right, taking behavior, and then it can help us to grow and maybe like develop and go for, you know, like further, you know, like milestones. My next question, April, is, you're like, this is like, I'm just like curious, and that's why I'm asking this. I know you have been doing some research in this border city, right? So what are some of those interesting findings you had from your research when you are studying this border community?
So recently, I've been doing some work with the Juvenile Probation Department and looking at adolescents who are involved with the justice system. And in particular, I've been looking at sleep and how adolescent sleep is affected by incarceration. And it's been really interesting to see that adolescents who are incarcerated are sleeping more poorly than adolescents who are in the community, even those who are still involved in the justice system. So for example, in our study, we have adolescents who are on probation as well. And we compare the sleep of those who are incarcerated to those who are on probation. And we see that although the incarcerated youth sleep more consistently, so they're going to bed at the same time every night, they're waking up at the same time every morning, they're sleeping worse. They have more night wakings throughout the night. And so kind of the next steps in this research is to really understand why they're sleeping worse and what it is that we can do to improve their sleep and improve their health. And this is important because we know that sleep is tied to numerous health outcomes. So it's tied not only to our risk-taking behavior, but it can be tied to things like aggression and acting out. And it can also be tied to physical health and mental health outcomes.
That's great, April. And thank you so much, you know, like again, for helping adolescents living in this region and in this border city. And I know they need a lot of resources, right? And then like researchers like you to really inform their, you know, like parents and agencies to how to work with adolescents to improve their health outcomes. Dr. Thomas's research offers hope and new possibilities for improving adolescents' risk-taking behaviors. paving the way for a brighter future for our next generation in this border city. Although today I don't have my great colleague Jason, so I just wanted to, you know, like just talk about a little bit how Dr. Thomas's research resonates with me. I really connect with Dr. Thomas's research because, and honestly, you know, I was the opposite of risk taker as a teen. I was more of a stay under the radar kind of kid, you know, like too busy avoiding the bullies to take any chances myself. In fact, I was also probably more fearful of everything than willing to step out of my comfort zone. That actually like really resonated with, you know, like how Dr. Thomas was saying risk taking can be sometimes, you know, like positive. And I think I was like more worried to take positive or negative, just stay away from the taking risk, right? So that's why I'm really thankful Dr. Thomas's research, and it really helped us, you know, like understand why adolescents are taking risk. It is positive risk or negative risk, right? So so that is really important to, you know, like study this, you know, like area for sure. And that wraps up another insightful episode of Border Health Horizons. We would like to extend a heartfelt thank you to Dr. April Thomas for sharing her perspective on adolescent risk-taking as a researcher.
Thank you again. Thank you again for having me here today. It's been lovely talking with you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Thomas, and we are so thankful for your time and again, like for your research for this community. If you enjoyed today's episode and want to stay updated on the latest in health and wellness along the border, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We have got more engaging conversations and expert guests lined up for you. And please remember, whether you are in the border community or beyond, the strides we are making in health are relevant to all of us. Thanks for tuning into the Border Health Horizons. Until next time, stay informed and stay well.